Cultivated Being Podcast.
Welcome, y'all, to the Cultivated Being. You're back here. It's been a while. We've had a couple weeks not posting anything. Jake and I have been super busy, so we thought...
It's my fault. Let's be honest.
We thought we would maybe take a little break and then, you know, situate stuff. But we're back here today. This is your first time. You're in the right place. This is the famous podcast, award-winning, where two brothers who are also alternative healthcare doctors talk about health and life and love and passion. Basketball, loving basketball, you know, all the good stuff.
The movie specifically, we talk about it.
Yeah, just the movie. So my name is Dr. Nick Hyde. This is my brother, Dr. Jake Hyde. Jake, what's up?
Hello, everybody. It's good to be back after a hiatus.
Yep.
Been a couple weeks. That's my fault. So I moved my home and my practice over to Nashville, Tennessee. So... I've been kind of busy. We did attempt a pod. Again, my fault. It was like in between homes, staying at a friend's. Tried to squeeze one in like the window where we both had free time, and many things went wrong.
Yeah.
Mostly, I didn't realize every kid in the neighborhood was going to come over to that house. And seemingly every dog, too. There's so much noise and craziness.
Kind of like... When it comes to podcasting, it was kind of like a Home Alone situation, except Jake and I were Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci.
we were the wet bandits.
Yeah, instead of trying to rob a house, we were trying to make a podcast. And it was like we're all just slipping on wet floors and having, you know, getting electrocuted, everything in the middle. So, lots of crazy fun stuff going on, but today we have a very special podcast coming up. You know, it is the time for the holidays. We have Christmas and Kwanzaa and Boxing Day, whatever other days that you might celebrate.
And there's a New Year's coming up.
There's New Year's.
There's Hanukkah happening.
Yeah. And this could be a little bit of a nutritional guide through the holidays. Also just a great time for Jake and I to check in about maybe some other stuff that we're really passionate about that maybe we've been reading about. And, you know, one thing that's always great about Jake, this is why we love talking to each other. We're always reading and consuming other stuff. And so every time we talk, it's like, oh, I have all these things I want to share with Jake. And likewise. So, what's up, Jake? What do you want to talk about first?
Nick, before we get into it, I am recording out of the, I want to say, infamous studio in an undisclosed location here in Nashville of our friend Matt. However, if you want to see it, they filmed a music video. And by they, I mean Casting Crowns filmed a music video for like a Christmas song they just released. And... So I remember I was in town and I was working, and I usually do work out of the studio. And so I got kicked out for that day. So I looked for it. It's already online. If you like Casting Crowns, and maybe some of you out there do personally, you know, not my style necessarily, but anyway, they did this Christmas song out of the room that I'm in right now. It's appropriately cheesy, which you can get away with cheesiness for Christmas. And also if you're Casting Crowns, you can do cheesy. It's fine. They're a bit older now, bunch of dads, you know, but, whatever the newest Christmas song is, I don't remember the name, Casting Crowns. That's this room that I'm recording out of. And Matt has the coolest gadgets, Nick. I'm holding a lighter.
Yeah, I see it. Looks super fancy.
It is just, it's heavy. It feels cool. It has like grippy things. It feels like industrial. Like everything Matt has is pretty cool, but it's basically, let's see if you can see this.
What? It's like electric kind of a, It looks like it's a Tesla coil that basically...
It's a Tesla coil. So there's these two prongs, like when you activate it, these two prongs come out. And what is it like when you do welding?
Jake, you're getting into stuff that I know nothing about. So carry on. You're welding. What's it called?
Yeah, so I don't know. Welding, but we've all seen it in movies. They put the little shield over the face and there's like a certain type of like really high intensity flame that comes out of, you know, the welding tool. Anyway, that's kind of what this is. So this is definitely not for children because you can hurt someone. But you press this button and this crazy amount of heat comes out of it. You light a candle in less than a second. It's an instant ignition.
It looks like it's one of those ones that you can probably light a candle in a hurricane with it.
Well, it does it because there's no flame.
It's or you just burn your whole candle down while a hurricane's going. You wouldn't really light it, but...
All right. Also, my computer is not stably connecting to the internet in here. So if you're listening, Nick, I'm sure he's going to edit this pretty well, but it might be a little choppy at times. So bear with us. The content's there.
Yeah.
I want to talk food, Nick.
Let's do it.
Mostly because since this whole moving situation, I've been eating healthy as, I mean, I can in some regards, but I've mostly been eating all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm feeling that or if I'm feeling like the extra stress burden of moving, not just a home, not just to like a new state, not even like moving down the street, which I've done in the past. Also like uprooting my practice, at least my practice headquarters. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I feel not the best I've ever felt. So it's like, how can you assess something's food and something is just other things? How much of effect does food have? And I, you know, when listening to, like I listened to a podcast recently where they're interviewing Stephen Gundry, who's famous medical doctor. He was like a heart surgeon, but for the last decade, he's been like a nutrition guy. He's like a new book about nutrition for kids. And like, if you listen to him and other doctors that are big on the whole, let food be thy medicine thing, like they'll blame a lot of like childhood behavioral stuff on food. And which you can, because I know that there's correlations between those things. But I don't know how much of it's like, oh yeah, it's a food issue. Or just like food can make something worse. Okay. So an illustration for me would be this. Okay. I'm opening up a bunch of topics and then we can just have a conversation. But like, so these nutrition doctors like Dr. Mark Hyman or Stephen Gundry like to make correlations of like a kid doesn't sleep well through the night, or a kid starts like having tantrums, or a kid has crazy anxiety, and they'll trace it back to a food. And they can make those correlations pretty effectively, and you can change the diet and you can see results. But how much of that is the food, or how much of that do you think is an underlying issue? Okay. So like this. So an adult can be behaving fine. You give them some alcohol and then all of a sudden they're like angry. Does that make sense? Now, does the alcohol make them angry, or does the alcohol make them weak? Does that make sense?
Totally get what you're saying.
So I agree with this. Like if you have a child who say doesn't sleep through the night, okay, or a child who maybe is just like, like raging all the time. Okay. You should definitely start experimenting with foods, but if you like change their diet, say you restrict, you like take out some things that could be like the weak link here in their diet. So whether it's gluten, whether it's dairy, sugar, you know, there's a long list of things it could be. And all of a sudden they behave better. Is Nick, as a neurologist, is their brain totally fine, or did you just like remove something that kind of weakens the willpower or makes them more vulnerable? So my illustration would be like an adult who can behave normally, but they have alcohol and now they're just like a rage monster. The alcohol doesn't make them angry, right? In theory, it's like they have an anger problem. And then when they get weak from a substance, then like their ability to overpower that thing goes away.
Yeah. I mean, this is a huge can of worms because I think you and I are both under the impression that every one symptom has like 100 causes, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's ever one thing.
I don't think
unless it's acute.
Totally.
Like the kid falls off a trampoline and breaks their leg. Then it's like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But if it's chronic, it's probably not one thing.
Yeah. I will say there's an interesting phenomena. I've seen sometimes with certain nutritionists and doctors who just specialize in nutrition that they seem to get crazy good results with things that you'd think they shouldn't have had any results with.
Right.
And that definitely happens because nutrition is a powerful thing. It's like really one of the really powerful tools. It's kind of like, you know, probably there's not very many people on here who watch MMA. And when they watch MMA, there's basically all mixed martial art fighting, right? Which is interesting because it's played out. I mean, it started out as this thing where it's like where martial artists and fans of fighting or whatever wanted to see who was best. And so I think for the first five UFC fights, they had people from different disciplines. One was from karate, one was wrestling, one was jiu-jitsu, one was boxer. And they had them have a tournament style of fighting to see who was best. It's like a movie. It's like a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, basically. But it really happened. This is a really intricate analogy here, but...
I like this conversation, though.
And then... I forget who it was. Hoist Gracie. It was one of the Gracies. Jiu-Jitsu. He ended up winning, right? And now... And then-
Everyone's trained in jiu-jitsu, does mixed martial arts. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the way it's all evolved through, you know, I don't know what number they're on, 300, it's like fight 300 or something. Since then, I think that was the early 90s. So lots of fights since then that have happened with the UFC and other, I mean, it's obviously a global sensation. And now everyone does some kind of striking, Muay Thai, boxing, kickboxing, whatever. And they do some kind of grappling, Brazilian jiu-jitsu mostly. So everyone does basically those two things and you have to be really good at both of them in order to win a fight. Likewise, this is how it is with health. What's in someone's power, any person's power out there, they can control their diet for the most part and they can control their exercise, and exercise being broad, not just like physical exercise, but mental exercise, emotional exercises like meditation, whatever, right? You have nutrition and you have exercise. That's what's in everyone's power. So it's like, you know, you can get a Mark Hyman or a Daniel Kalish or a, what's the guy's name that you just mentioned?
Stephen Gundry.
Yeah. Stephen Gundry, I love his research about leptins and stuff like that. But so you could take one of these top-notch nutritionists and they can, if they're with an amateur in the ring, right, who hasn't tried anything, they can get a lot of results on them because they're a master of one of the arts of health.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really cool. But And you know, I'm a big fan of the rule, the 80-20 rule, where 80% of results come from 20% of the effort. I think that this is a lot of times the case. You know, most people who get great results haven't really tried anything. And then they try one thing, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, I tried the ketogenic diet and like everything went right for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've never tried anything else. Obviously it gets more and more complicated the more that you've tried and the less it's worked. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, you need to go to somebody who is a mixed martial artist expert, right? It's not just one thing, but everything. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
That's kind of a weird rant, but that's what I was thinking about when you said the nutrition stuff.
So the study that sparked my interest in this conversation today was done a couple years ago. Actually, I just hadn't heard of it, where these guys got thousands of volunteers to actually kind of wear those like insulin or the glucose monitors for diabetics. And have the ability to track blood glucose levels in real time. And they would be able to connect it to an app where people entered in what they were consuming. Okay. So it's like, here's what I ate. And then it's hooked, it's connected to blood glucose monitors so people can track it. The reason they did this study is because like nutrition is pretty confusing right now, because a lot of people say this is the best way to eat. Like there's a lot of science, and it's science. It's, there's a lot of dogma too, but there's a lot of science that are like, this is the best way to eat. But if it was really science, like by now we would have results, right? This population is doing this diet, getting these results, and this population is doing this. This one's clearly better. We'd have that by now, but we don't. That makes sense?
Totally.
So some people are like, paleo saved my life. Some people are like raw vegan. Some people are like keto. Some people are like, doesn't matter and I'm healthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what we do know, at least like from an obesity inflammation standpoint, is like spikes in your blood sugar, your blood glucose leads to unhealth.
Yeah.
We do know that. Okay. That's definitive. And that also is what leads to obesity. Okay. So that's what these people set out to do, is like, okay, if we know, we don't know necessarily what diet's the best for anybody, but what we do know, that spikes in your blood sugar or your blood glucose leads to a lot of the unhealthy issues, right? So you're talking like, that's where the weight gain happens. That's where inflammation, things like that. Okay. So what we did, or not what we did, what these people did was like, okay, so since we don't know what diet's the best, we're just going to track what people are eating and try to monitor like which meals spike blood sugar the worst and the fastest. Cause like spiking blood sugar is not bad necessarily, but it's like how intense. Because the more quickly it gets spiked, that's what leads to a lot of the health issues. Okay. You following that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what they found was certain trends, right? So higher carbohydrate, leads to obviously increase in glycogen spikes, which is predictable. A lot of people would assume that to be true. Weird things though, like higher fat intake actually led to less glucose spikes. So some of those trends were somewhat predictable. I probably would have been like, yeah, if you have higher fat, you're going to have less insulin. Like fat doesn't trigger like a glucose release, right? Or actually like high protein could potentially do that as well. Anyway, the point is this. some of those trends were predictable, but when you looked at isolated data, every single person was different. So there were some, like, this is a general assumption you can make about the population. And one is like, high carb diet leads to more glucose spikes. But that's not true for everybody. And it wasn't true even for like meals. So like some people would spike more eating a meal with rice in it than they would with having ice cream that has like literal just straight sugar in it. And a different person, high spike with ice cream and low spike with rice, right? So what this, and this data, this study showed or documented like 2 million meals over however many people were in it, I forget. But at least they had data on 2 million meals. And it was really interesting to be like, okay, there's no set rule. There's like broad trends, but everyone is different and weird, unexpected things can happen on a very individual basis when you look at a specific person. And so you got to ask yourself the question, well, okay, if it's not necessarily the food, if it's not necessarily the meal, what are the other variables? And there's a couple. There's like your metabolic demand as a person. And then there's like the other things that metabolize food. And you have to think like gut microbiome. Okay. So broadly speaking, from a metabolic standpoint, someone with a lot of muscle will be shielded, so to speak, from like a high glucose spike. Because as soon as glucose starts entering the bloodstream and goes to the muscles like have a higher glucose demand or capacity.
Yeah, especially if you have worked out recently. In the recent past, your muscles need it. They need to replenish their stores of glycogen.
Yeah. So a stack of pancakes between like a bodybuilder who just worked out versus the average couch potato, it's going to be different because the bodybuilder, like as soon as the food's broken down, glucose enters the bloodstream. As it's going through the muscles will be like, sweet, I need that and I'll take it. But someone with low muscle content and also like a low metabolic demand, meaning maybe like their glucose stores are full because they haven't exerted themselves in a while, it's just going to flow through their bloodstream and eventually their body's going to be like, ooh, this is, we got to get this out of here. Because glucose, while it's very useful for energy and the brain kind of can thrive on it to some extent, it's a neurotoxin. It's like poisonous. So you release insulin out of your pancreas and insulin drives it back into storage in the cell to be used at a later time, typically as fat. Okay. So in a way, food doesn't make you fat. Insulin does. That makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
We're getting somewhere.
So that's like a basic understanding of like individualized nutrition. Like people have different demands on them. But I think perhaps most importantly in this conversation is the microbiome. These are trillions, right? Can we count them up to trillions? Especially when you're not just talking bacteria, but other things like probably yeast more. And whatever. Yeah, these things are breaking down food for you, converting the chemistry of the food, so the compounds in the food, to different chemistry that gets into your bloodstream and does different things and signals different activities to happen in your body. So your microbiome has a huge effect on what can be done. So I wasn't sure if I lost you there or not because your screen froze, but I can hear you. So
dramatic pause.
Yeah. So what happens in this study is like initially the study was like, whoa, it's so individualized. But what they did to follow up with it is now that we're like really advanced at genome testing, that we can do like stool samples and we can get a pretty good understanding of which microbes are in someone's gut. And we know enough about them now to maybe predict specific foods and how they're going to like be metabolized in someone's gut. And they fed it into these computers that could start predicting a better diet for people based on the microbes.
That's interesting.
And it's pretty accurate. And so in this study, I saw like these two different meal plans that look basically about as healthy as the other one, if you're just looking at macros. So macros being the balance of carbs to protein to fat. Okay. So for me, like as a guy who knows nutrition, I'm looking at these two different meal plans and I'm like, yeah, basically about the same. But then they tested them. So that was like the computer prediction, and they tested them, and yeah, the computer algorithms are pretty accurate just based on testing the microbes. Like, would someone lose weight or gain weight on one of these diets?
That's pretty cool.
And again, it wasn't macros. And so many nutritionists and so much conventional wisdom is like, you got to look at your balance of carbs, protein, and fat.
All right. So I want to extrapolate something from this that I think is super interesting, because the truth is most of us aren't going to get this testing done on us in our lifetime. Maybe some people will. Jake might.
It might become normalized at one point.
It might be, but who knows how old our population of listeners is anyways. I don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea.
We don't really know. But what we can extrapolate from what Jake is saying is, which this is a fascinating study, but I think we all need to develop a more keen sense of what our food, how our food makes us feel. And we really need to plug into this, because I think this is really ultimately the only thing that we can, we have to go based off of feeling. There's no other way that we can really judge what's best for us. So how are you feeling? Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling energized? Does your body feel heavy? Do you have pain in your joints? I mean, these are all factors you can plug into. And because of what we know about the immune system, because what we know about digestion, you can't, anytime you have a symptom, you can't just be like, what was the last thing I ate? You can't just automatically go back, oh man, it must have been that candy bar I ate, that bean I ate 15 minutes ago. No, it's, you know, a lot of our immune system, we've talked about this before, can be days, even some people weeks after the fact. So you have to be like, okay, what's my average, how's my diet on average right now? If I'm just going to say like 80% of what my diet is, how is this 80% of my diet affecting 80% of the way I'm feeling, right? Taking out some of the outliers of good and bad that happens accidentally. And you have to make choices based off of that and be like, okay, you know what? You know, and from the past, like I know that I feel great when I'm having, you know, basic carbs. I feel great with cooked veggies. This is stuff that I know about myself. And this is why, you know, like you can have a PhD, write a book on ketogenic and why everyone should be on that. And then a PhD in nutrition, write a book on why no one should do ketogenic, and they're both right. It's kind of frustrating, but they're both right. So rather than just, I'd say, try a bunch of things out, try out ketogenic, try out paleo, try out raw, try out, you know, vegan, try out whatever, although Jake and I've kind of bashed veganism for a while, but no, we love vegans. We don't necessarily like low protein diets but you can go back at some of the past for what we talk about this.
Or like low
Yeah.
fat diets.
Yeah, you have to try these things out and see how you're doing. And I would say this has been a shift. I'm glad we're talking about this today because this has been kind of a shift for me. You know, I did go through, I don't know if you know Joel Fuhrman. He wrote this book called The End of Dieting.
No, I like the sound of that book though.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. He has a bunch of talks. Maybe I'll link one. And he made a different food pyramid where he really prioritizes what he thinks obviously are the healthiest foods and foods that you should avoid. And he goes off of stuff like, you know, what causes the most disease. It's mostly like a, you know, healthy aging kind of diet protocols that he looks into and preventing diseases protocols. And, you know, you're right. The two things that have been studied probably the most, when it comes to disease is how sugar, insulin affect us in disease, which is the worst. And then the other thing is like certain unhealthy fats, how those affect us and how we can avoid those. Anyways, I was watching this and looking in. I don't have his book yet, but I was just looking through a bunch of stuff that he has. And it's all really interesting. For me, I've noticed lately, I'm just feeling zonked, man. I'm feeling so tired lately. And I'm looking at my routine that I have. I'm eating mostly pretty healthy. And I'm working out a very healthy way that I'm working out. But it's just too much, man. The balance isn't there. And I'm recognizing this, the way I'm feeling, and I'm going to change it. So I'm, yeah. And you
yeah.
do everything forever anyways.
Yeah, you gotta play around. I think you got to experiment, and it helps to be paying attention to yourself. Like right now, I don't feel very good based on what I'm used to, but there's a lot of variables. So yeah, I'm not eating as like my normal diet. My normal diet, in case you haven't picked that up from the pod before, is like real food. I try and get a lot of healthy fats in my diet. I try and get a lot of veg in my diet, decent amount of protein. So without trying to get too much into diet, like I said, it's a lot of variables. I'm used to working out the way I work out, getting like a daily sweat, and I haven't done that in like 3 weeks. So that could also be part of why I'm not feeling great right now. You know what I mean? Also, like my normal self-care routines from living at, you know, my old home, not really doing that because I've been displaced. I'm trying to like figure out a new pattern, and like my normalcy is not there. And so I think food plays the factor in it, but it's, you know, we don't live in an isolated system. We don't get to control variables like they do in laboratories. There's a lot of different stresses in my life. There's a lot of different ways I can like release stress. And I changed a bunch of them recently. So while I haven't been eating the best, I don't want to blame just food on why I don't feel great. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Jake. I wanted to jump in with something because trying to make this relatable to everybody. And I'm going to share a story about my wife, Claire. She probably, you know, she doesn't listen to the podcast, so this will never get back to her, but she, you know, she's kind of, I'm patient. I'm my own patient number zero. And Claire, my wife, is probably patient number one. And, you know, I'm always working with her and we've made huge strides, except all of a sudden, man, this fall, this winter, it seems like she's reverting, she's regressing, and she's totally self-conscious about it. She's like, I feel like I'm, you know, she has all these doubts about her health right now. And it's interesting because, you know, I see my wife through a microscope a lot of times when I'm working on her, and we tried out everything over the last month and I'm like, what the heck am I missing? You know, it's one of those things. I'm like, I tried everything. What the heck am I missing? And then I realized there's no problem with her body. There's no problem with the physiology. There's no problem with her diet. Problem is her neurotransmitters. She's dealing with seasonal affective disorder. And I was like, no, there's no other problem except that her serotonin level's low. I was like, oh, let's do that. And we literally bought like a $30 serotonin, you know, lamp, therapy lamp on Amazon. She did it one day and it was like all the symptoms went away. You know, so it's one of those things where, look, this is the story with our health, man. There's so much going on. You are such a dynamic individual. And this is the truth about dynamic things. Everyone's looking for a static answer to a dynamic problem. You know, you're on a speed train going from birth to death. Okay. And you're going to arrive at some point, but when you're in the process of it, it's hard to fix a train that's moving, you know? Mm-hmm. But this is what we have to do. Okay. And so you have to just kind of do your best to understand that the most important principle of our health, how we describe ourselves as being healthy, is really homeostasis. That's our word for like you're healthy. And the word means like dynamic balance. That's what the word means, basically. Homeostasis is like there's two extremes on both sides and your body is figuring out a way to balance that right now in the moment based off of the information it's getting. So the better you are at that, the better you are and the more healthy you are. Doesn't matter if you're diseased or you're sick or you're whatever, as long as like you can still be healthy and be sick at the same time, because it's fine if your body's dealing with an immune problem. It doesn't mean that it's unhealthy. You know what I'm saying? There's this dynamic play. I feel like I'm on this weird rant and tangent, but stuff that I've been thinking about lately.
This pod is built on weird rants and tangents, Nick. That's what we do.
Well, I love this stuff.
Me too.
I do. This is so interesting. And I know we both want to talk about this stuff forever, but I think we could put a cap in this for now. So give us a couple of bullet points here, Jake. What are some things that maybe you've been interested in, maybe people should check out, or just some last little bits that you want to give to people?
Okay. One, your microbes are important. So the things in your gut have a big influence on how like food is processed in your body. So take high quality probiotics and be mindful of foods that like destroy your gut. So animals fed antibiotics, not good. Basically GMO foods, because you know they've been sprayed with glyphosate, and glyphosate is an antibiotic, very powerful one. And not that like you're going to die if you have some GMO foods. It's just like try to shift the balance towards foods that are more beneficial to your gut. Okay. So like I said, things that have been fed antibiotics and things that have been sprayed with pesticides like glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup. Take a good probiotic. Then also you have to be more sensitive to yourself. Most of us try and numb out to ourselves or be distracted from ourselves. But the best diet on the planet is not one that has a name. Maybe you could name it. It'd be like an intuitive diet where you can pick up on cues from your body on what you need.
The intuitive diet trademark. Dr. Jake and Nick Hyde.
It's probably already done.
Okay. Well.
But anyway, if it's not. But the idea is like, if you can trust your body, if you have a healthy relationship with your body, while I would say like eating ice cream isn't good for you, you may crave it. And maybe you do need some fat and some sugar at the same time. Your body's like, hey, we could use these things. Because they all have a use, right? It's kind of a time and place situation. Sugar's not bad. It's like a timing issue and an intensity issue usually for most people. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a quantity issue too. Sugar's not bad. But
yeah,
a lot of caveats to that statement. So the more connected you are, the better your cues will be like towards hunger. Like, this is what I'm feeling right now. I've also heard some people like turn that into like spiritual practices, right? Because if you're like, if you're connected to, you know, the Holy Spirit, right? If you are intuitive there or in tuned there, you can be like, what should I eat?
Yeah.
And then listen.
Yeah.
And that could be helpful. And I've heard good stories about that.
Yeah.
Because there's a wisdom that you have access to. You can call them by different names if you want, but nonetheless, there's an innate wisdom. Mm-hmm. Different ways of communicating with that could tell you like, okay, this is in my best interest right now. This is in my highest good. This is what I need.
Awesome. I love that. Last thing that I want to share is that, how do you put this? You got to stay inspired. Man, I find this is one of the most important things I'm seeing about the way people's health is progressing is they just burn out. I mean, they burn out. You got to do things that keep you interested and inspired. You're listening to this right now and you're like, yeah, I want to make a change. I want to do something. Go buy a book, get a couple talks, download a couple talks on your phone, you know, get a friend, get a friend that you could talk to about this and like schedule a time or something that you can just talk exclusively about diet. You got to do these things that keep you plugged in to your inspiration and you can keep moving forward with your health, mm-hmm. whether it's diet or anything else.
Yeah. And I'll say this, entering in a season like we are here, where like family becomes a priority, right? This is like an intense family time. And family is the most important thing, but it shouldn't be at the expense of your health. Like, you should prioritize your health in such a way that you're like most present for family time and most available. So family time doesn't mean sacrificing yourself on the altar, right? It can, and maybe there's times where like that's what has to be done to keep like the family thing going. But in like a season of joy and giving, right? Because everyone's family's in different states right now. But the point is, like, your health is priority and your health influences your ability to show up for your family. So don't kill yourself for whatever kind of holiday festivities. It's like, you got to care for yourself first.
Totally. And it's really unfortunate. Jake and I had an awesome podcast when it comes to family dynamics last week. But one thing I want to add to, you know, this family time is people think that they have to be an old version of themselves to enjoy and appreciate the family stuff. And they think that if you're going to try to be this new version of you that, or version that you think is new, but it's really probably more true to yourself, that you're going to give up on family stuff, that you're going, if you have healthy boundaries between you and whoever in your family that drives you crazy, that you're going to lose out on some of the deep connections and stuff from the past that you love about your family. No, we're saying these things so that you can have a healthier, more enjoyable, more unitive experience with your family. You know, the better and healthier that you are, it's the absolute truth that the more you're going to enjoy your family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're going to enjoy you, you know?
And if someone from your family is like, I'm worried about you, you've changed, maybe that should be celebrated. Maybe you should be like, thank you for noticing. I am growing.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, y'all. That's all. That's all I have to say. Don't be afraid. Move forward and join Thanksgiving.
Okay. We're going to try and get a special Christmas themed pod coming up here in a sec. So, maybe stay tuned.
Week.
Yeah. As in, like, in the digital world, if you listen to this a little later than it got released, maybe it's going to be uploaded any second. You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know the time nor the hour.
Stay by the phone or the computer, wherever you listen to this. Cool. Well, you know what? Man, this felt good. It's been a while. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And let us know how things are going. If you listen to this and you're like, yeah, something that Jake probably said, maybe Nick said, touched you or affected you, let us know.
And as always, if Nick said something you disagree with, let us know. We love that. It's one of our favorite things.
Well, everyone have a good week or a day or morning or afternoon or year or life.
Yeah.
Depends on how you consume this information. Peace out, Jake. I'll talk to you later.
Love you, dude.
Goodbye.